Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Imagine, if you will, a season finale and a show talking about that, where they talk about the show in the show, and then we do it in the middle of the afternoon, and then we only have three people instead of four, and then it's a season finale and we talk about all 10 episodes. Well, it sounds to me like we've just arrived in the Twilight Zone.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, welcome to the Twilight Zone After Show. It is indeed our season finale. If it's the Twilight Zone season finale, it is also ours. I'm Christian Blatt, joining you. For those watching live at a special earlier time, for those watching the archive, you don't notice anything different. Because we have no windows in here, because sunlight hurts me. But somebody, two people, wonderful people who don't hurt to be around, that's right. Angelica Trey.
Yes, that's me. And the sun does, too, hurt my skin as well.
Yes. Well,
freckling forever.
Yeah. But we also have the sunny disposition of Raven French.
Yes. Hello, guys.
Yeah, so Raven.
We wore our colors.
Yeah, I did not get the memo.
Yes, you must have missed that email.
I'm clearly the blurry man here.
Very
on the
disappointed in you.
Yes,
I'm check those emails.
Super disappointed in myself.
He's wearing blue.
That's right. For those at home, they're wearing yellow. They're definitely wearing the AfterBuzz colors. So Raven, just to think that it was 10 full weeks ago that you and I sat down to talk about The Comedian, and here we are now at the end of the season. Angelica, you joined us, I believe, in week two.
I did.
Yes.
So hopped on a little late.
You were not OG, but you've been around for a long time.
Yes.
So, you know, almost the beginning. So there's a lot to talk about, and I do want to carve out some time at the end of the show where we're going to kind of look back on the season and our own personal highs and lows. Perhaps we will say goodbye to Dr. Baby because, you know, we won't get to talk about him every week anymore. Were you about to correct me that it's baby doctor?
No.
Oh, I thought you were.
No, right. I wasn't. I was.
You're
I was
just happy that I said
it. Yeah, I was gonna like, I was going to let it lie.
Let's start off with the episode Blurry Man. And Angelica, I'll start with you. Just overall thoughts. Let's start with that and then
so
work backwards.
I really enjoyed this episode. You know how we've previously been. This entire season, we launched into social commentary, and then we kind of been inching a little bit back out of that, starting off with Comedian. This one is moving a little bit more towards a psychological, I guess, kind of story or commentary within it. I enjoyed it a lot. They represented, you know, things like fear really well, and then towards the end, you realize it was about overcoming boundaries. So I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I definitely agree. What did you think, Raven?
Yep, I agree. I love this show because it feels like old Twilight Zone. It feels like what I watched as a kid, where at some moments I don't know what I'm watching or what's going to happen. You're enthralled. It's psychological, like she said. A show about a show about a show. And yeah, I liked all of it.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that, you know, the way we start, obviously, in the cold open, we have Seth Rogen, and he's toiling away, and he's solved the problem of the episode he's writing, and then what he wrote became real, and that's kind of what we saw in the commercial for this week's episode, mm-hmm. when we saw the commercial last week. And I was like, okay, well, we've seen that in adaptation. And I was very surprised that was really not what the episode was about at all. That was the plot of the episode within the episode. I wasn't sure how long it was going to last. Like, I wondered, like, okay, are they just going to break the fourth wall in the beginning and then they're going to kind of go back to a story? But I thought it was just tonally really interesting to have Jordan Peele be so actively involved in the story, you know, just as the narrator. Sure, all the behind the scenes stuff, but that's a very it's a very bold choice to actually have him engaged in the episode, to treat this like, yes, we're on the set of the Twilight Zone. You know, I don't think we've seen anything close to that in any of the previous iterations of this show or even on any kind of similar anthology series. Raven, what did you think about, you know, when basically it's in the first few minutes when he's doing his usual narration, he's like, no, you know what? I think we can beat this. And he like calls for the writer and all that. What did you think when that happened?
I thought that was cool at first. Well, period, I thought it was cool. But I also thought about you because of the whole, she said, two on the nose.
Yep. So
it felt like the conversation they were having was kind of some of the conversation we've had about the other shows. So it's like, oh, they've had that conversation.
Yeah, they clearly have had those conversations in the writer's room because things like, yes, we've a lot of the episodes we felt are on the nose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she felt like it was really important to, you know, it's like, well, you know, we have the opportunity to make a social statement. And, you know, the Jordan Peele character is just like, yeah, but is really that what we should be doing? Or should we be making that point with this episode? And so, I mean, it's it's super meta. I understand that, but it's it was really interesting to watch. And there were just a lot of like little touches that pretty much everywhere he went, he had people handing him popcorn. And I don't know how prevalent that is in on sets and with, you know, directors and producers. I do know that that's 100% true about Lorne Michaels, who created Saturday Night Live. He always has popcorn, and there's always people just kind of handing it to him as he walks around. So I don't know if anybody else does it, but it made me laugh when I saw it because it's a very, to me, it's a very showbiz thing.
I would love that.
Right.
Okay. Popcorn everywhere I go.
Right, because they have popcorn here a lot of the times. Not today, but no one hands it to you. You have to go get it. Yeah. Like
the worst,
like a regular person.
Oh my gosh! Like, I have to do labor and scoop up popcorn.
Like somebody that has no social media followers, you know, they have. They should have to get their own popcorn.
But wow!
What I'm just saying, you know, it's, if I understood what Twitch was, I'd understand that.
Yeah, you need the clout to get that popcorn.
Yeah, right, exactly. And you know, I I'm sure that I'll be getting you that popcorn before the show is over. I did want to point out 2 points from the chat. C.R. Torres says that he hated the episode. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. What a waste of Seth Rogen. I do. Yeah, look, I mean, we thought that Seth Rogen was going to be in the episode.
Yes.
And clearly it makes a lot more sense now. Like, okay, he was there for like one day of shooting.
Well, the budget they could have spent on Seth Rogen, they funneled towards CG here. So.
Right, yeah, which we'll definitely talk
about.
They had to
play their cards right.
Yeah, and then the fourth wall sort of omniscient narrator aspect of it. Kitsune Rokaku says this must be Deadpool's favorite episode, so I'm sure he watches. I thought this was really inventive, and these things don't always work for me. Like when, you know, it's a behind the scenes, if your whole show is like something like the Larry Sanders Show, where it's about making a TV show, there's plenty of shows that are like that. That's one thing. But when you take an actual series and then you do one that's like this, that doesn't always work. But I felt like it worked out. It worked really well. And we were never, at least for me, I was never quite sure what was really happening. I thought that having us identify with Sophie, the main character, the writer, was great, because, you know, there's all the things of, you know, anybody who's worked on a set, or really anybody's worked ever, you know how often you can just be so exhausted you have to like walk through your job, and it would make sense that like she wasn't, you know, really seeing any of these. Raven, when we first saw this idea of the blurry man, did you have any thoughts about what it might be?
No.
Okay, that is a very honest answer.
I did not.
Because I did not, by the way, I did not either.
Yeah, I was as confused as Sophie. She normally has the foresight.
It's true. So,
I don't normally have the foresight. No, I'm just always trying to stay one step ahead.
In the episode that you wrote in your head, Angelica, who was the blurry man and what did he go on to do?
So at first, just taking a step, I was definitely on like a roller coaster through this, but I remember they broke it down, they made it meta, and it was like, cut, and I was kind of irate. I was like, what's going on? And then they introduced the blurry man, and they're showing all those images, and it was actually really chilling for me. So I remember my entire body was just covered with goosebumps for at least like 5 minutes straight, which is just bizarre. I know, I was super creeped out. So when we first saw the blurry man and I was trying to create those predictions for what I thought was going to happen, I thought maybe the blurry man was self-doubt. You know, like,
because
you know,
there's a concept like that, sure.
Yeah, well, there's that whole metaphor of like a shadow of a doubt. And I was like, well, he's kind of like a shadow. So maybe it's like self doubt and, you know, those artistic, you know, blockages that we have because she's a writer and things like that. So that's sort of what I was guessing.
Yeah, and I think that the show very directly and then also indirectly from the story is asking a lot of questions about, like, well, what should a show like this be, you know? And I thought that, you know, when Sophie's kind of talking about the need to have it be more important or socially relevant, mm-hmm. you know, she mentions Campfire Stories, and he's just like, well, you don't like Campfire Stories? And she's like, oh, no. So I thought, you know, it asked, because, yeah, I mean, I think that there are episodes that work like that. And just for me personally, the episodes that I felt that were a little bit more, the episodes that I liked the least, which we'll talk about momentarily, are the ones that felt the most heavy-handed, the ones that were the most on the nose. Mm-hmm. And you know, look, I'm sure that everybody involved with the show is probably proud of all the episodes, but I think that, you know, they got 10 episodes in and they started to think about, like, okay, so it's good that we're setting out to tell stories that we feel like have some kind of relevance, but are they always the stories that need to be told? You know, like, is this story that gets funneled through the prism of this issue necessarily the one that makes it work the best? So I think it's really lends itself to conversation. And really, Sophie is the character that we really get a lot of her in this mm-hmm. episode. Sure, we have Jordan Peele, we have, you know, a little bit of Seth Rogen, we have other people, but really it's about her just trying to figure out what it is. And I think that they do a really good job of her trying to avoid, you know, first figuring out the blurry man being chased and stuff being thrown at her. I like the way that they went to some of the different sets. The bar set looked familiar to me, but the one that we'd seen apparently in two episodes. There was sort of like attached to the library, so it was like in a way that like an actual set would have two sets next to each other that actually mm-hmm. aren't, you know, connected. But I was actually expecting maybe a little bit more, some like very recognizable sets, you know, like people's homes or apartments, maybe the rocket ship, you mm-hmm. know. I thought she was gonna wander through some of those.
They were all recognizable.
So all of them you recognized from other episodes?
Yeah, so we had the grocery scene from Point of Origin, then right. we had the street scene, which I believe was Comedian.
I think another street scene was actually from Not All Men. I thought,
Not All Men.
Which, by the way, I'm sure it's the same street set for both. Right. You know, it's just they were dressed differently. So I think at one angle it looked more like one than
the
other.
There's red lighting probably right. in the Not All Men one because yes. red was a huge theme there.
Yeah, a lot of
way to change up a set.
Yeah, just use some red light. Yeah. So, what were some of the other ones that you recognized? Clearly, having a more keen eye than I do.
No, I mean, I usually like after these each of these episodes too, I like to just take a step back and sort of be like, okay, what's going on here? Is the blurry man in actually all the other episodes? Like, what are the call tos and things like that? So I did do a little research, but yeah, those were some of the sets. I think. Let's see, there was a bar scene, it was the bar from the Comedian with the books as well.
Right.
The guy from the Comedian was in the shot, too.
Mm-hmm. He was on the when she goes to the editor, mm-hmm. that's the shot from freeze frame and mm-hmm. like, hey, look, there's mm-hmm. the blurry man. And yeah, I had that same thought. I'm like, wait, was that there? And did I miss it? Like,
I know, and that was probably some of the cause of my goosebumps there. But I did do a little bit of research, and there actually is the blurry man. He's not quite blurry, but he's in every episode. It's a man, doesn't look like Rod Serling, but he's wearing a suit, and he's in every single episode.
What?
Yeah. So, you know, another 10-15 in there, but now it's a retrospective one where you can go back and find him.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, they kind of do a good job because a lot of times, and then this is the one thing that I thought, Raven, was that you kind of had, I think you said last week, that you were hoping that the season finale kind of tied everything together. Yeah. And it didn't really tie the stories together, but it tied it together in an interesting way by having it all be part of a show and they're aware that it's a show. What did you think? I mean, you know, there was what you wanted to see. How did that compare to what you actually saw on the screen?
It did not. My expectations were a lot more. I thought somehow, I think just because it started out so heavy with the Easter eggs, I thought it would be a big thing in the end where we're like, oh, you know, but I guess that would also overshadow the show.
They did introduce a new Easter egg, though, to be fair. The blurry man.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So one big one.
So now I have to go back.
Yeah.
Right. And see what that's about. That's weird. Where was he?
He's not very blurry, though. Fair warning. I think he's only blurry in the second to last episode, which I'm blanking on the title right now.
The second to, but you mean Blue Scorpion?
Yes, Blue Scorpion. He actually is blurry in it.
And if you do want to find a list of all the times that we've seen the man in the suit, not blurry man, TVGuide.com actually has a good list. And then including one, I think it's from, it's from Replay. It's the guy in the suit from the back, but he's holding a cigarette like Rod Serling always did. So it's like a very clear nod. And, a lot of times we all probably watch TV in a way where we're focused on other things. Or with this show, a lot of times I am taking notes while I watch it. But I felt like I watched it pretty intently, and I just didn't catch these. When we watched them the first time, I didn't notice a guy in a suit who looked like Rod Serling, which maybe I would have. But I didn't be like, hey, is that the same guy in the suit from last week? So they did it in a really good way where it wasn't – I guess it goes two ways. What do you think, Angelica? Do you think that it should have been in a way that was just maybe a little bit more blatant? Maybe they held – the camera on him a little bit longer so that we all started to be like, well, what is this? Who is this guy? What's going on? Or do you think that the way that they actually did it is better?
I think we didn't need any more blatant in this season. I keep trying to say series. I don't know why. I guess they both work.
Yes, because so far it's the series. Yes.
I think that we didn't need that blatancy. I'm pretty sure what they were going for was that final episode. They were going to blow our minds with that, and now we're gonna have to go back and look for it because it's spooky and it's creepy, and not being like, oh, what's up, what's the deal with that man with the short haircut and the cigarette, you know?
Well, and as we mentioned a few weeks ago, and you may have noticed when you went to watch this episode, the entire first season is now available also in black and white, should you choose to watch it. So if you are going to rewatch it, maybe watch it in black and white. I rewatched the first few minutes of this episode in black and white just while I was doing some things. But of course, the fact that the episode ends in black and white sort of, that's why I was like, hey, they should switch that to color in the black and white version.
Or it's kind of like a little bit of a call to where now as you're finishing the series in color, it's taking you into the Twilight Zone. So now it transitions in that final episode in the Blurry Man. And now you can rewatch, rewind and go through that entire series again or season now in black and white and see it through a different light.
Yeah, I think that's clearly what they were thinking. And
with Sophie.
We did go with Sophie. And we got some like decent character development from her as we went along. You know, obviously she was FaceTiming with her partner who seemed to be the only person that she, she just needed a friendly voice. Clearly they're having some issues, but that was seemed to be the only person that she could call. But we really didn't know that much about her. She obviously thought a lot about the Twilight Zone. In fact, when she's on the phone, her partner says something along the lines of the fact that you like eat, sleep, and breathe the Twilight Zone, you know, which of course we all do. That's why we're here on the show.
And even then we got some of her sort of, ideas towards the Twilight Zone and the writing towards it when she was talking to Jordan Peele in the very beginning too, which by the way, Sophie, I do not forgive you for calling sci-fi stupid.
I thought about you.
Don't you dare.
I know, which it's funny though, because if you work on and yes, this is of course a fictional character on a fake version
of
the show.
How dare you, fictional character.
Yeah, but no, exactly. That's why I brought up. No, but it's like, but she's working on a sci-fi show. So even if, I know people who are genre writers and they ended up in a genre that they weren't particularly interested in, but you know, it's like, it's still a good opportunity to tell stories. Mm-hmm. And I did think it was interesting that she, you know, felt the need to marginalize the genre that she happens to actually be on. So I did also really like the tie to the original series. Obviously, there's the big one that we'll talk about in a moment. But so when we get her flashback, which she's sitting there watching what I think, and I haven't watched it in a while, I think it was Time Enough at Last. I believe that was Burgess Meredith in what is my favorite episode. So it's my favorite episode, but I couldn't recognize it. The problem is that with a lot of the original series, you would get the same actors in a few different episodes because it ran for so long. I thought it was a nice touch to just see that she's like, yeah, I don't want to go outside. You know, I just, mm-hmm. I want to watch TV. And that was the part that spoke to my inner child. I was like, yeah, I do not want to go outside. I mean, I couldn't bring the TV outside. Not back then. Now you can bring your TV outside. Right. You just take your phone. But back then, you know, it's like you need an extension cord. What if it gets wet? You know, there's a lot of problems.
Yes.
What did you think, Angelica, as we start to get to know just a little bit more about Sophie? Do you think that it helped us identify with her, or could we have used more?
I started to identify with her more. I think she became a lot more of the, you know, every woman, every man, every person, I guess. How should yes. we call this?
Well, if you learned anything from this season of The Twilight Zone, it's every person.
I know, but if I say every person, that might confuse people. So I was like, let's go through all three options. Sophie definitely was very relatable. I, too, watched a lot of television growing up. You know, it was one of those situations where, you know, raised with the news and stuff like that. It's like, stay inside and you can, you know, either put your nose in a book or be watching some TV and escaping to an awesome fantasy world or sci-fi world. I definitely related to Sophie a lot. And in terms of the Time Enough at Last, she was watching that episode, and there was a bunch of other call twos with that, obviously, with the, like, writer thing. Did you happen to do a little research? Because I did a little bit of research.
Well, tell me the little bit of research you did.
Okay.
Because I saw the episode and I'm like, okay, I thought that that's what that was. But then I started to think, like, I don't want to be wrong on this show. So I hedged my bets a little bit. But I'm very interested in what research you did.
Okay. Yes. So when Sophie, we did a little bit of a flashback in this episode. Sophie was a little girl. She was watching TV and her dad was sort of pushing her to go outside and socialize, and her mom was just like, leave her alone, she can do both. She was actually watching from the original Twilight series Time Enough at Last, which is an episode about a man who just wants to read, and he's a little, what, I don't know how to pronounce this, myopic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He needs glasses. He can't read without them. So towards the end of the episode, he was reading a book, I believe it was about the apocalypse or something dystopian, apocalyptic, and he reemerges. And everything, he's actually emerged into the apocalypse and he can finally have time to just sit and read. But then his glasses fall off and he steps on them, I believe, and they get crushed.
Yes.
And there are crushed glasses in this episode that Sophie walks by.
I did not see them.
When she was walking out into the street set for Not All Men.
And the reason why I always like that episode is because I feel like it perfectly encapsulates what the Twilight Zone is. It's like, oh, yes, you do indeed have your happy ending. But it's always like, oh, you can make a wish, but, you know, your wish will always be exactly the way that it's phrased. You know, it's like, oh, you asked for all the time in the world. You have it. Well, you don't have the glasses, but you have all the time in the world. And, you know, I was reasonably young when I saw that. And, you know, when you're a kid, pretty much everything has a happy ending, you know. And to just see this show where, honestly, you pretty much never had a happy ending. Sometimes some characters, you're like, oh, well, at least they were okay. Usually people weren't better off than they were at the beginning
of
the episode.
Jeff had a very happy ending. Just Stork.
Oh, last week from Blue Scorpion. He's the only one. Yeah. No, but when I would see the other ones as a kid, I felt like nobody ever had a
happy ending. Rewind, that was a happy ending.
Not for the police officer.
What's the... I'm blanking on her name right now. The female comedian from Comedian. Did she get chosen? Or did she get picked up?
She continued.
Did, I don't but think she had to make a deal
for
with
the Tower
Chosen
of Power
Morgan.
Or whatever it's called. Yeah. Power Hour?
This is what it was called, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
The Tower of Power.
I don't know. Funk fan. Let's go. Yeah. she's in a funk fan now.
Well, I'm so glad that you did all the research. You'd think that I would have, but I trusted you to you know, be out there getting all the information for our viewers.
Enjoy it, so no problem.
Yeah, so let's talk about the final reveal, the realization that the blurry man the whole time actually has been Rod Serling. Did not see that coming. And thought that it was a well done reveal of him. I think whoever did the voice did a decent job. You know, I think that they maybe could have clipped some, you know, had less dialogue, because the more he talked, the more it didn't sound like him.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, and we've seen this before. We've seen animated images of his, of him before in past incarnations of the show. Also, on the now closed Twilight Zone Tower of Terror at Disney's California Adventure. The Tower of Power. you used to have, like, it was like a, you know, they had like an animated one. There was a new voice, but they had images of him that they tried to match up to the new narration. So it made me think of the Tower of Power, the Twilight Zone Hour. Tower of Power Hour. And I thought it was kind of a cool thing, because in the beginning of the episode, Sophie does say, as a little kid she used to watch, and she was like, well, when do we get to the Twilight Zone? And it's like somehow she knew that one day she would walk through that door. Angelica, what did you think of the reveal on the hall of Rod Serling?
Rod Serling? I didn't expect it. Like I said, at the beginning, I was sort of maybe thinking, okay, maybe this is her self-doubt. Maybe this is, you know, just like her being self-conscious and that's standing in the way and it's stifling her creativity as a writer. And then all of a sudden it emerges and it's Rod Serling. And I guess in a way he is sort of a metaphor for reaching beyond those boundaries and reaching into the Twilight Zone and moving past those, you know, I think I'm assuming here the boundaries would probably be something like self-doubt, you know, which are things that we start doing when we're not, when we start growing up or putting away childish things, to quote the you know, final narration of that. So I was definitely surprised, and I did get some weird uncanny valley vibes from the CG of his face.
You felt like it didn't work as well as maybe they hoped it would.
Well, maybe they should have just, like, I don't know, done farther away shots or something. They could have done it a little more artistically, but another fun fact, it took three guys to shoot him. It took three guys to shoot him. One to do the face, one to do the voice, and one to do the body.
And that was Jason Priestley. I thought that when it was, I was like, what's that?
Oh, when they go through that set, I did think that was Jason Priestley.
Actor Easter eggs now.
Yeah. What did you think, Raven, of the reveal of not Jason Priestley, which is also very exciting for all of us? We were happy to see Brandon
so
again.
So excited.
But what did you think of the reveal of Rod Serling?
I think it was a great tie-in for the entire show, because I was really digging the going into black and white. And if the show, just for Sophie's character as far as relatability, if I was just to take this show as far as just being a writer, or if there are writers who are watching, it's a lot to say about not judging what you're doing, so that it can open up. Well, you know, when you have those blocks of creating, the judgment on something is going to block you. Whether it's the actor that you're playing, if you judge it, it's going to block you. If she totally hated sci-fi but was right, how can you really write? So I thought just that part of it was cool. And then to end it with, like, you know, the, that's how I felt seeing him. Like,
oh. Angelica, how do you feel like it would have worked if they, instead of all the effort that they did to, you know, use some motion capture or CGI, whatever, if they had just had an actor dressed like him and then he just spoke? Do you think that would have made it, you know, seem less real if he didn't look 100% like him, you know, if they didn't actually have the image, or if it was just like, just a guy in a suit, we get it, that's who he is. You know, do you think that that would have made it less effective?
I'm not sure. I think, honestly, if they could have found someone that was very, very close, but if, honestly, I think a lot of people would have questioned it either way.
Yeah.
He definitely, as someone who's played a lot of video games, namely like RPGs, that have a lot of cutscenes where things look like that and people's faces look like that when they're talking, I was like, oh, this is suddenly a video game. And I could tell they're trying to do a soft filter, you know, with the black and white to try to mitigate those little weird uncanny valley vibes of us knowing, like, that's not quite a human. But honestly, I'm surprised they didn't do, you know, either maybe like voice software. I don't know if we're there yet to sort of replicate his voice based off of all the narrations and all the clips that we have of his voice from the original series. But I think, you know, they did fine with it. I think it was just like he wasn't engaging his eyebrows. in it, so it was throwing me off.
His eyebrows were very expressive in the original.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. It was a little tough, but honestly, if they just found someone that looked very close to it, maybe. But honestly, I think it would have been criticized either way.
Putting it in black and white, I think, would have helped. However they did it. Same question for you, Raven. Do you think it would have worked better, worse, about the same if they just had somebody dressed up like Rod Serling and just were like, okay, you're going to just believe us that this is Rod Serling?
No. I think she's right. People would still have something to say, but that would be worse.
Yeah, I think that I do a lot of times find these kind of when they use somebody who's passed away. The perfect example is the Star Wars movie Rogue One. So they have Peter Cushing as Grand Moff Tarkin. He's been dead for decades, and he's interacting with live action actors, and it can be very distracting sometimes. And we only had it in a few minutes here, and I think it worked as a way because he kind of like led her down a hallway, and I think it worked better for me here because he was such a central part of the show. And yeah, I think if they'd had an actor, I was like, well, don't they know what the technology is these days?
Yeah.
You know, don't they want to try? And I'm sure it was probably very expensive, to do anything like that. Just because, like you said, first of all, you had three people working on it. So that's three people you have to pay for, I don't know, was it 3 minutes? I don't know.
Why do you think the episode was 37 minutes and not a full hour? They're like, we got to cut our budget here.
We only had one episode that was an hour, right? The comedian was the only one? Or did we have another one that got close? But that was the longest one for the whole season, I think. A lot of them were around 38, 39 minutes.
Really? I thought a lot more of them were around an hour, and they were just a little too long and convoluted sometimes in the plot. Or somehow maybe they convoluted a plot in 30 minutes and it just felt like an hour to me. Right. I don't know.
They were like 38.
How are you doing that? That's impressive.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then in the case of Nightmare 20,000 Feet, it was 5 minutes too long. But anyway.
At the end.
Exactly. Just at the very end part. So I thought it was cool. And look, this would have worked if, maybe the show hadn't been well received. Maybe, CBS All Access decided, we didn't want to spend money. This would have worked out really well if they'd never made any more. I'm glad that they're doing another season. I'm very interested to see where they go. Mm-hmm. I feel like this, in a way, is like, we hear what you're saying. We're gonna think about it. We're gonna see what we can do in terms of telling the same kind of stories, but maybe being a little bit more subtle. Raven, do you think if they had never made any more, would there have been a better way to end the series than this?
No, I actually would have enjoyed. I enjoyed the series, but this was this type of episode for me. More like this would have just had me on cloud nine. More episodes like this that had the subtlety, the artistic, and I like the psychological aspect of it.
Now, Angelica, my thinking at this point, though, is if in season two they did another episode like this, I'd be like, oh, come on. You can't just do it next year, right? I mean,
season two, just Sophie's Adventures in the Twilight Zone? Come on. Just change the title.
She can be the narrator.
She'll make it to the moon or Mars. Where did they land on the episode?
They went to Mars.
This episode, Sophie meets a robot, I'm excited for it. Let's do that.
Which, think about how much she'd hate it because robots are sci-fi. And she'd be like, ugh.
But the funny thing with that is I couldn't even tell, because I was rereading, her back and forth with Jordan Peele on that, and I was trying to figure out, okay, is she saying sci-fi is stupid, or is she saying it's like a slippery slope between a stupid version of sci-fi into Idiocracy, I think is what she says.
Yeah, she did mention the film Idiocracy, which is great, by the way. That's a very funny film. But I know, it's like, are we making the right kind of statement? And I think that they had a disagreement on that. But Anyway, let us know what you thought of this final episode. Because this is the season finale, I did want to take the time to talk to the panel about personal feelings about the season. Angelica, if you had to isolate an episode as your favorite, what do you think was your favorite of these 10?
Oh, man, to isolate a whole episode?
One that you feel like worked the best. You don't even have to have loved it. You could just be like, this is the one that came the closest.
I liked the Great Filter one, the 6 degrees of the one where they go into
six
space.
6 degrees of freedom is what
of
that
freedom.
One's called. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, great filter.
it was a little unfair that I did that. So here I'm gonna give the titles of all 10 episodes. The Comedian.
Right. I was looking them up.
Yeah, Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, Replay. A Traveler, which was about you.
A Traveler.
Five, Wonderkind. That might come up on one of my lists. 6 Degrees of Freedom, Not All Men, Point of Origin, The Blue Scorpion, and, of course, this episode, Blurry Man.
I did like Blue Scorpion, too.
I thought that was really well done. I think that, you know, that was probably, I think, the most consistent from beginning all the way to the end. Just surprisingly had a reasonably happy ending, except for those kids who ended up with a handgun.
So basically, long story short, is the ones that I liked were all the ones that weren't super heavy on the social commentary. Right. That being said, the Not All Men did give me some weird, you know, kind of chills because of just experiences I've had in real life, but it's not necessarily my favorite in its message.
Right, but you thought that they did a good job with the message and it was very effective. It just might not necessarily be your favorite, but you think that that is one that you're kind of giving an honorable mention. You think they did a good job with that one.
I'm nodding to that one. Right. However, I like it when it's a little more conceptual and psychological with it, so that's why I like the 6 Degrees of Freedom. And I like it when they can help me want to research other things, like the Great Filter. I had to look up the Great Filter because of that, and I was launched into this whole like online researching thing, and I like that I can you know, an episode that can make me think and do more research into it. So that was probably one of my favorites, and then Blue Scorpion, of course, because
I definitely agree. What about you, Raven? What you know, if it's hard to choose, you can definitely mention two. We can give one the honorable mention nod.
Okay, I'm gonna stick with The Comedian. I did enjoy that one.
I did like that one, yeah.
Yes. And this one. I have others in between there, but if I'm going to go with the first and the last.
Yeah, I did really like The Comedian. I think it's another one that did work from beginning to end. It set the tone really well for the show. And I know that, like, when I read the reviews, like, there were people, like, because when it started, those first two episodes came. So you were able to watch The Comedian and Nightmare at 30,000 Feet. They were both dropped on April 1st, April Fools. People tended to prefer Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, which I didn't understand. I'm like, did they just, you know, not watch all the way through to the end? So I thought that was good. This one really worked, but if I have to isolate one, I would definitely say The Blue Scorpion. Beginning to end, it worked really well. It felt like a Twilight Zone, except for the reasonably happy ending.
I really like the cinematography in Blue Scorpion as well. Like, the way it was shot, it was very nice, and the actor choices.
Yeah, and then when they showed the gun, it was well. Now, we will now discuss our least favorite episode. You have to pick one that you're just like, this one just didn't work for me. If you need to think about it, I can tell you mine first. Wonderkind, so far and away.
Okay, when you said Wonderkind in terms of favorite episodes?
No, least favorite. Baby
That's
Doctor.
My favorite on the nose one.
It's the most most on the nose.
It's my favorite.
Replay's
nose
close,
one.
But no, you're right. Dr. Baby is way more on the nose. No, Wonderkind is the worst one. And I really liked some of the casting in it. And I thought the idea was okay. But I thought the execution of that was just, I don't know, it just didn't work for me. And I think most of the other episodes worked on some level. Replay I didn't love just because it was heavy-handed, but I do think that they told a good story and they had an interesting device at the middle. But yeah, if I have to pick that one. So, Angelica, I will now ask you your least favorite episode.
Yeah, so the interesting part with that was we had a couple episodes in a row that were a little rough for me, and it was getting me a little down about the season. Yeah. So it was Wonderkind and then A Traveler.
A Traveler.
Next to each other. Yeah.
That was really, I agree. For me, that was like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to talk about
the
show.
Whoa, yeah, exactly. But then as an entire series, it was interesting because even tonally, like, this is one of probably my criticisms here, is tonally it changed a lot. You know, it's social commentary. We start off with a comedian, and then we end off with, like, childhood wonder. But then in between, it's a whole lot of social commentary and not a lot of science fiction to me. You know, we get the Groundhog Day situation with Replay, and, you know, it's not quite sci-fi in the way it was executed to me, so it was a little tough.
And I'll point out that the order of the episodes, it did go Replay, A-Traveler, Wonderkind. So you had three in
a
row that I just was like, the show really wasn't working for me. And every episode had something that I liked in it. Even Wonderkind, you know.
So Wonderkind was worse for you than Replay?
Yes. because there were too many times where I had to go to a chiropractor because I hurt my neck from rolling my eyes so much during WonderCon.
You roll your eyes with your neck?
I did not mind that.
That's how I do it. I do what I got to do. But, you know, it's the second half of the season I thought was strong with Six Degrees of Freedom, Not All Men, Point of Origin, Blue Scorpion, and Blurry Man. Point of Origin, I think, was a little uneven, but I think that it was well done. It was enjoyable. On the whole, I did like the season. And Raven, have you given us your least favorite, or are you still deliberating?
I have two for two different reasons. Okay. I feel like I'm going to get in trouble.
Don't let us sway
this.
You. Oh no!
Is it Dr. Baby or Baby
she's
Doctor?
She's gonna say it's Great Filter One, huh?
No.
Okay.
It's for two different reasons. Taking out the social commentary of Replay, the choice to actually replay was giving. I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
Like the actual artistic choice of
the Groundhog Day just didn't work.
Yeah.
Do it. Yeah.
There's a couple ways you can do that, right? There's the there was the military movie, right? What was that called? Not Die Another Day.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Thank you.
Disembodied voice in the booth. Ryan from Delaware.
We had Edge of Tomorrow, and then there's another show called it's the Russian Nesting Doll one.
Russian Doll?
Russian Dolls?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You said all the words in the title,
and
but
then
you threw
I added
nesting
a word.
In the middle. Yeah,
yeah.
By the
okay,
way,
there we go.
Russian nesting dolls? They're called Matryoshka dolls.
Matryoshka
Thank you very
doll.
Much.
Yes. The Matryoshka doll show, yes.
Yeah, with oh my God! Why can't I think of her name from American Pie? But she's in a million other things, including
we
the show my wife works on.
In here.
Natasha Lyonne.
Okay,
oh,
there you
go. Her.
She's great. Yeah,
yeah she's
and
wonderful.
I saw the first couple episodes of that show, and I thought it was interesting.
Yeah,
but,
I couldn't watch that either.
But see,
really? Okay, so
when you get into
is just the thing.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
When you get into replays and seeing things again and again, I always feel like I'm wasting my time.
It's a hard line to walk when you're shooting or filming something like that. So it was, I think, a little exacerbated replay.
I get the point of it, but me personally, not my thing. Because I heard Russian Doll was so good, and that's why I tried it. But I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, keeping it in the
try watching it. It's like the first two episodes, it's like replay, but then it gets past it.
Keeping it in the CBS All Access family, there was an episode of Star Trek Discovery in season one where they kept going again and again an episode. And usually I actually hate that. But they figured out a device that actually made it work. And it's very hard to do it. And in replay, it didn't always work. And I still don't understand why she didn't win the lottery. Come on.
She could have changed her whole
life. Yeah, everything would have been better. You could have bought off that cop.
Exactly.
You know? Look, he's racist, but go ahead and give him $1 million. See how racist he is, you know? Well, maybe he'll shoot you and take all of it. So, see, I just figured out a way around it. Anyway, on the whole, I would say I was happy with the season. I'm very intrigued to see what they would do in terms of a second season. I would say I'm looking forward to it more than I was at the middle of the season. At the middle of the season when they announced the renewal, and I was like, really?
I agree. Same.
So let us know. Obviously, we have people in the live chat right now, but if you're watching the archive version, let us know. I know that I will check in on the archive version of this and interact with any of the comments on there. I don't want to put any pressure on Angelica or Raven and try and make them interact on the chat, but they're welcome to join the conversation.
I want to know people's favorites.
I'm more interested in their least favorites.
That too.
Tell me your favorites. Yeah. Tell me your least favorites.
And just tell us why.
And tell us like how you would improve those least favorites.
Yes.
Your favorites, honestly.
The writers might check it out.
Right, exactly. Anyway, so unfortunately, this is the end of our time in the Twilight Zone for now.
Just for now.
Music.
Just for now. Yeah, we can always head back into the Twilight Zone. But
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty sure Blurry Man's waiting right outside the store and we're going to get launched into the Twilight Zone.
You don't
that
see him there? How is it that only I see him?
I think he comes to us at different times.
Do you think that, Raven, do you think he didn't like my impression in the first episode of our show that I did?
Possibly.
The ghost of Rod Serling.
Yeah. All right, well, at least there'll be plenty of cigarettes. Don't smoke, kids.
It's bad.
It's very bad for you. Anyway, this has been a lot of fun to talk about. I've loved getting to meet both of you ladies and, of course, our friend KSJ, who is able to be with us sometimes during the season. But that is it for now. Angelica, where do people keep in touch with you? After the Twilight Zone.
After the Twilight Zone, within the Twilight Zone, around the Twilight Zone. You can find me on most social media platforms at AyTrae, AyYTRAE, and Instagram at AngelicaTrae.
And Raven, where do people find you?
Guys, you can find me on all social media at Raven. That's Raven with an I, R-A-I-V-E-N, French.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And Tuesday night at 9 Pacific, we'll be doing the fifth and final episode of the Chernobyl miniseries, which is a truly compelling show, but it is the opposite of fun. It will bring out no childhood wonder from any of you if you watch it, but join us then. Until then, we look forward to seeing all of you in the Twilight Zone.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.